very short, brief comment. The word ignorance was used early this morning, and it simply means uninformed. And so here, know ye not, brethren, are you not informed, brethren? That might be helpful. It is then that we become responsible. That is why Scripture is emphatic, that we should be informed. And God would use us to inform ourselves by reading in dependence upon the Spirit of God.
We notice here too, three, maybe four times, I count at least three, correct me if I'm wrong, the law of sin, or sin, not sins, as we said this morning, the fruit of it. And I don't know about everyone in this room, but I know when I was converted and rejoiced that my sins were forgiven, and you go on for a short little time, just overwhelmed, then you start running into another problem. And you go, wait a minute, if I'm saved, why am I still thinking this way? Why am I still doing this? Why? I had to physically learn this, that there was a root problem that sins is just a product of. And that brings us to the cross, as you know. So that, let's notice that, young people. The sin here now, the root that Paul is talking about, and not the fruit of the product of it.
In the book of Romans, in the first chapter, he writes to them and he expresses that this book and even the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so here he takes up that theme and he reverts back to making reference to God's ancient people, and perhaps those who are the Jews, in chapter 7, verse 1, know ye not, brethren? And that term, brethren, you see that occurrence many times in the book of Acts early on, men and brethren, what shall we do? So this was a Jewish, has a Jewish flavor to it when he says brethren. And he says here, I speak to them that know law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And then he gives the analogy from marriage, that someone who is married, whether it's a male or female, female, male, it's the same principle, that the partner is free to marry once the spouse has died. And they're no longer under the bondage, under the obligation of that initial union. And so he uses this as he introduces the first part of this chapter to explain the fact that we are no longer under the bondage, under the obligation, under the requirements of the entelles of the law of Moses, that which the people that he says here, those who know the law, would certainly be apprised of. They're no longer under law. And elsewhere Paul says, we're not under law, but under grace. And so the ruling principle in the believer's life is no longer law, but grace. And he uses this analogy to explain that we're not under that obligation. If the old master has died, we talked this morning about we're no longer under the old master. This here is another principle that's working, detriment to the believer, to bring him under bondage. And it's the law. We cannot keep the law. And so he says we have been, we've died to the law. And so that's what just by way of introduction, he's using an analogy of the marriage union to explain the fact that we are free. Free from the bondage and the dominion that the law would bring into the life of the believer who seeks now to please the Lord.
Further comment on the word or the thought of root. It occurs twice. I can't remember either one. Something like this. The time will come that Israel will again bear root, take root downward, and bear root upward. I'll repeat that. The time will come that Israel will yet again apply it to ourselves. He might not be bearing fruit, but the time will come because of his intercessions that you and I will again take root downward into the Word and bear fruit upward. Two scriptures about rooting. The one is in Ephesians 3. I just have the first word.
Rooted and grounded.
Yeah, that is the end of it. What is the first?
That you might be rooted and grounded.
Yeah, that you might be rooted and grounded in love with the blessed result, quoted that this morning, of having the knowledge that having the knowledge of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fruits of God. The other one is in Colossians 2, where we read, as you have therefore, verse 6, received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There we have the practical outliving of it. Rooted and build up in him, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
This might help the children. This is very interesting. Christians are upside down trees. Okay? Christians are upside down trees. You made mention of Ephesians chapter 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in life, in love. Where is Christ now? Christ is in heaven. If we're rooted in Christ, and we have our roots there, we have our fruit down here. So the tree is an upside down tree. A Christian is an upside down tree. His roots are in heaven, and he bears fruit down here to be seen of all on the earth. So may God help you to be rooted in Christ and bear your fruits for all to see. Christians are upside down trees.
Not upside down, it's actually that's the right way. Sin have turned man.
Right side up. Right side up, yes. It'll be better by and by.